2016 is gone. Bye. Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. This is your glorious host, Jessie Mae Peluso. My last name means big and hairy in Italian. Google it. I am here in sunny California after being away for a couple weeks celebrating the horror days. I hope you guys celebrated the Hala Blaze with a little bit of greenery, a little bit of family love. I hope you had a good time. New Year's resolutions, did you guys make them, break them, fake them? What'd you do? I don't do New Year's resolutions. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going into 2017 same way I went into 2016. With a hope and a dollar. We lost George Michael. We lost Carrie Fisher. We lost a whole bunch of motherfuckers. And probably some more important people whose names I don't know. If you lost somebody personal to you, I'm sorry for you. And I hope that it gets better. This has been a crazy, crazy year. I know a lot of you are like, oh, finally, it's over. Fuck 2016. 2016 was tough for a lot of people. But like I said in my last podcast, you gotta get through that shit, yo. Excuse me. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. What's going on? I'm gonna be at Oxnard, California tonight. I don't know if this podcast is gonna make it up in time, but if I already was there, hey, hope you enjoyed the show if you came out. If I get this up before I leave for the show, hey, hope you can make it out. Levity Live in Oxnard, California. 8 p.m. I'm working on my hour. I'm going to be releasing a special this year. So I am going to be running my hour, quote unquote, as much as I can. I'll be at Irvine Improv in Irvine, California next Thursday, the 12th. January 19th, 20th, and 21st. I will be in the House of Comedy at the Mall of America. Hello. That's exciting. February 9th. 10th and 11th, I'll be at Laugh Boston for Valentine's Day. February 16th, I'll be at Del Lago Resort and Casino. February 17th, 18th, 19th, I will be at San Jose Improv. And if you want more than that, go to jessiemae.com. If you want to come to any of those shows, I give out tickets all the time, motherfucker, because I am mad charitable. jessiemae.com for tickets. sharptonguepodcast@gmail.com. If you want some free ones, tell me why you deserve it. Oh, I just got a text message. How exciting. From my assistant, Liz. Let's see what she says. Liz says, okay, mija. Hopefully we can make it. My car has been acting up, so I might have to take a ticket looked at. See now, why can't vehicles just work? This is where it's like sometimes you just wish you had a horse, you know? Because, I mean, I guess horses break down too. That's why we went to cars. Horses take a lot longer, but I would love to ride a horse everywhere. That would be really dope. I saw a picture of Lady Gaga riding a horse in Malibu, and I got really envious. But then I was happy that she fulfilled her dreams of becoming a person who could afford to ride a horse around in Malibu. I got to pull a little saddle on Chaplin and walk him next to me. A lot of craziness going down, y'all. I'm trying to live my life. I'm trying to gear up for this year because I have a lot of career milestones I want to achieve. It's going to be a busy year, but I think it's going to be a good one. This past year was really difficult for me personally, and I'm going to use all of that to propel me into a creative space I've never been to before. This may be one of my greatest comedic years ever. Maybe I'm speaking too soon. Maybe I'm way too optimistic. I don't give a fuck. I'm going into it with some fire. With some fire. So yeah, come out to those shows if you want to come see me live. I asked you guys about your New Year's resolutions. I used to make them. I don't make them anymore. But I wanted to see what you guys do with yourselves. And it's Weeds Day. How can I forget it's Weeds Day? This was supposed to go up yesterday, but I was traveling all day coming back from the holidays. And normally my podcast goes up on Tuesday, but hey, happy Weeds Day. That's exciting. If you're listening to this, then I've already posted my Weeds Day post. Most likely, I do it every Wednesday. It's Weeds Day. And I do a Facebook Live show on my comedian fan page. It's facebook.com Facebook.com/comedianJessieMayPeluso. And I do a live Facebook post. I do Facebook Live once a week. Well, I'll probably do it a couple more times a week, but Weeds Day is every Wednesday. And I adjust the time to suit East Coast and West Coast. So it's not a set time yet. But right now, it's just whenever I see fit. So let's see some of you monsters, what your resolutions are. Michael DeRocher. You've been on my page before, and I'm sure I'm saying your name completely wrong. Become a mechanist. Move to Denver. Blah, blah, blah. No need to get deep and emotional, but finally do what I want to do with no strings attached. Oh, Michael, it sounded like you just had an emotional breakdown in the middle of that message. I think the first thing you need to do in 2017 is call your therapist. Everyone needs a therapist, FYI. So if someone you know sees one, don't make fun of them. They're becoming emotionally mature, and there ain't nothing wrong with that, you judgmental cunts. Anthony J. Brown, 4 years agony, quit smoking cigs. Did you fall asleep on the keyboard, man? I don't know what you're trying to type. 4 years ago, I see. 4 years ago, I quit smoking cigs. This year, I'm going to quit drinking soda, hopefully. Anthony, how hard is it to quit drinking soda? Are you 7 years old? Just stop drinking it. Find something else that's delicious. Put some lemon in your water, motherfucker. Come on. James Jensen, I resolved to finally find the link to watch movie free without register. Man, you guys got some terrible English. You guys just forget English? I do too sometimes when I'm typing with my fat fingers. James P. Jensen, again, Iron Man Triathlon. Or maybe just Lord of the Rings Marathon. Those are two totally different things, and that was really funny. Emily Dawn Harris, to make money, to smoke as much weed as I want. What? And to get Texas to legalize it. Texas won't even legalize things. Texas doesn't even want to legalize, like, civil rights. Good luck with that, Emily Dawn Harris. Texas and Florida have the craziest laws in this country. Dave Jones, I will read instructions. All right, man, you didn't read the instructions of this thing. I said, what's your resolution? Is that your resolution, to read instructions? What do you assemble IKEA furniture all day? Carrie Grace, get that comedy benefit set up. Yes, we got to do that, Carrie. I agree. How ironic that you should say that before I mention the guest on today's podcast. How so very ironic. Drew Bean, get higher than Doug Benson. Dude, that's not possible. That dude's got one eye that's always high. He's the highest dude I've ever met. McCarthy Sean, I've been sober for 40 days. Not in a row, but for 40 days. 40 days total. Well, man, that's not sober. I don't think you understand words. You guys are fools, man. That's really cute, though, that some of y'all have some really non-committal New Year's resolutions. And some of you, I think your resolution should be to look into English as a second language. Man, It's been a wild ride, and you know, the thing about life is you are on the path you're meant to be on, and you can change that shit. Don't blame anybody else for your own problems, motherfuckers. Let's be adults. I'm kind of excited about this podcast episode. While I was home in Syracuse, I got a chance to stop by a very, very special place in Central New York and Syracuse. It's actually, there's a few locations around Central New York, the ACR Health Social Service Center. It's a community center for LGBTQ people to go and feel safe and get care and have a community and get education and resources and a place to sleep, something to eat. It's a really, really amazing place. And, you know, in this generation and in this society where people are so judgmental about people and their origin and their gender and their preference and how they identify, these people need places to go because they're people. You know, just because somebody doesn't carry their life the way you carry it doesn't mean that they don't deserve the same things you deserve. Everyone deserves shelter, food, water, warmth, and love. And the ACR Health Social Services community centers that are spread around really make an effort to bring that to people. And specifically, you know, I met with this lovely lady. She came to one of my shows, and her and I emailed back and forth to try and figure out what we could do together, you know, a benefit or something to bring awareness to the LGBTQ community in Syracuse and in your own neighborhood. I did it when I was in Raleigh, North Carolina. I hooked up with one of the local community service centers there, and I want to spread that information to everybody. I want people to know that there's a place to go where you can get care. And if you have, even if you have AIDS, like the ACR initially was for a place for people with AIDS to go and get assistance and care and a place of refuge. And so even if you're a person who has AIDS and you need some help, they will help you. The sad thing about life is there are judgmental people, and they turn you away because of your afflictions and your gender identity. But the good news is there's also places that will take you in with open arms and no judgment. And this is one of those places. And I had the pleasure of sitting down with the regional manager and the regional manager and development at ACR Health, Carrie, who just is adorable and a comedy nerd, and I'm pretty sure she's going to become a friend of mine, if not already my best friend. And we got a chance to just sit down and talk about what the real deal is and what people can do to help, and how you can go about dealing with somebody in your family who may be gay or maybe transgender or may have a disease or anything, any sort of situation where they don't know how to deal with adversity. And it's important to know that you have a place to go. And I love sitting down and talking to this woman about something that means something to people everywhere. You know, here's the thing that really drives me nuts, and we got into it a little bit. You can't judge people for the way they want to live their life. And just because somebody is different than you doesn't mean you're better than them. I think different is the best way to be and the only way to be. Imagine if we were all the same. How motherfucking boring would that be? Come on now. Let's realize that life is too short to be judging motherfuckers. I probably shouldn't be swearing so much, but I hope you enjoy this interview, and maybe it'll shed some light on your situation. Maybe it'll shed some light on somebody who you know. Maybe you're a parent of somebody who could be lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual, and you don't know. And this is a way for you to figure out how to embark on that journey with that person. And hopefully you won't be a judgmental parent, you know, because if you are, then you're a cunt. That's what I think. I'm sorry, Carrie. This is a terrible intro, but I'm just, you know, the podcast is called Sharp Tongue Podcast for a reason. I hope you guys enjoy this interview, and I hope you stick to your New Year's resolutions, you slobs. Whatever you want. Did I put this on? Let's see. And so you just kind of hold it like this.
I'm a huge nerd.
Okay, what do you want to know? Ask me if you could ask me whatever you want to ask me.
Sounds so catty.
You gotta keep that to your fucking face, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever you want to know.
Well, I'm a huge comedy nerd, but I want to know, like...
Who are your biggest...
No, my brain, like, goes to, like, being a woman in comedy.
And what do you think?
I think you do it so well, but I also think there are other people doing it right now who are like, I just want to be the smartest person in the room and then look good.
Like who? Let's name names.
Like
Let's
Eliza
go dirty.
No, am I right? Am I right?
Well, it's interesting you say that because...
Like, she's good, and then I would listen to her podcast, and I'd be like, I want, like, this is very self-serving.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. I don't know her very personally. The couple exchanges we've had, she's sort of rubbed me the wrong way, but I don't really let it bother me too much. But I did read an interesting article. I forget what source it was, but she was being interviewed, and she's like, you know, I'm like the only female out there on the road touring like this. And I wanted to be like, hello.
Right.
Do you even know about your peers?
Right.
They're your peers. They're not your competition.
Right.
I'm out there just as much as you are.
Yeah.
And there are a slew of other women that are out there. Jen Kirkman, you got Sarah Silverman, you got Wanda Sykes, you got, you know, Amy Schumer, and you've got Nikki Glaser. There's so, I could go on and on.
Right.
about the women who are doing it. And when I read a woman, yeah, and like when a woman who's supposed to be my peer mentions that no one else is out there doing it like her, it's like,
right,
what the fuck?
Right.
Bitch, open your eyes.
Yeah. We were just talking, like, they're like, how did you come across her? And obviously girl code, but I, like, I, it wasn't like I Googled you watching it. Not that people didn't.
You know you did. You did a little, I cyber stalked you.
True. But I can't remember how I came across you in your podcast, but I'm going to geek out for just a minute.
Do it.
And I won't. Like, I have had to stop what I'm doing because I'm laughing so hard. Like, my daughter, we moved, and so I'm painting her room, and I literally had to stop because I was, like, shaking. So I just want to.
I love the shaking laughs.
Yeah, and I was like, I can't paint. Listen to this. This is supposed to be a mindless activity, but it's just so, you're so happy and nice, and I think that's so encouraging. So when somebody like my kid does get older, who's got incredible comedic timing, by the way.
Does
she's
she?
Ridiculous. that, like, you're somebody who I'd push her to. Like, watch this.
That's really sweet.
It's so, like, it's not like, look at me in my see-through shirt, and I'm going to use big words, like, which is great.
Yeah.
I pride myself on being the smartest person in the room sometimes as well.
Right. There's a time and a place.
But just, like, I don't know. And then how physical you are was so great. We a few of my friends and I went and saw you the Funny Bone.
Yeah.
And I was just like, she's so much more physical than I thought. Like,
people don't realize that.
Yeah.
I love, like, physical comedy. Clips.
And I said, no, I want to go see, because I'd never seen a whole thing.
Yeah.
So my follow-up question would be, who are you, I know you're working on a special, right?
Yeah.
So who are you doing it through, or?
Well, those details aren't quite worked
out.
Yeah. It's so early, but I definitely want to shoot it in Syracuse.
That would be awesome.
I've talked with Bobcat Goldthwait about directing it. And I think he might have directed one of Eliza's.
Didn't he just do Bert Kreischer's?
He did
some. Somebody's.
Yeah, he does a lot of directing, and I like that he takes risks, and he does unique projects, like World's right. Greatest Dad with Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see that?
I think you would
probably really appreciate that, because I think the storyline, the guy's, Robin Williams' son in that, was gay. Or there was some sort of...
I don't think I saw that.
I think there was some sort of aspect to it where either his son was gay, or his son was transgender, or he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
Or there was no gay thing at all. And I'm just fucking forgetting.
Right.
And maybe I had too much marijuana yesterday.
Maybe.
But you should check that out. So Bobcat, he's done a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
And he's weird, and he's artistic. And so we sat down, and we have that Syracuse bond.
Right.
You know, because he's originally from this area. He's got salt potatoes tattooed on his arm.
It's hilarious. I didn't
from
know that.
From Kat
That's
Von
so
D. She.
That's awesome.
Yeah. She nice. She tatted those. And
gotta get some of her lipstick.
Oh, yeah. Her makeup is amazing. Yeah. Like
a red lip.
And she's got perfect lips for that.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that's frustrating about makeup is, like, you look and you're like, oh, that's going to look good on me. And then you're like, oh, I don't got Kat Von D lips. That's when you're like, I can't compare myself.
Right.
You know, like, you do that chick thing where you're just like, oh, my lips aren't that big.
Yeah.
I want those big lips. It's like, fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
No. So who are some of your favorite comedians?
Well, I grew up, I just am so thankful. My mom grew up letting me watch, like, In Living Color and Mad TV and Saturday Night Live. For her 50th birthday, we took her to Boston to see Dana Carvey's special being taped.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was. He was like the Dave Grohl of comedy. Like, he performed for 2 hours.
Wow.
And then picked up a guitar.
I was just going to say, he probably did some music.
Yeah.
He's so damn talented.
It was ridiculous. And his sons opened. So it was super.
What did they do comedy?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. His sons
are
stand-up
comedians.
Yeah. One of them is really good. The other one's getting there. But they're babies.
Sounds like my whole career.
They're young.
How old are they?
They're like in the early 20s, like early.
Oh, that's so cute.
Like, 20s aren't 20s anymore. Like,
no, they're not.
Just your teens.
Yeah, 20s are like five. You're
right,
five.
Exactly. So, but they were super cute. And one of them makes a joke about how he looks like a poor man's like Hugh Grant. And he totally does. And he's super cute. But that was cool to see that.
Yeah, his son's open.
I will call my mom and do church lady on her voicemail.
Well,
work.
Isn't that special?
Yeah, exactly. And we come from North Georgia. So that mentality is very like, well, that's.
It's just like that.
Whose favorite color's red?
Yeah.
You know, like, so.
The devil.
Exactly. So I'll call and, like, still do that to her. And so I grew up in a very funny, like, that was what we enjoyed, was watching SNL, watching In Living Color. But for right now, it's shifting.
It's shifting.
Because stand-up comedy is awesome, but it's the podcast element, too.
Yeah.
So I love yours. I like Bert Kreischer's. I watched
his
special, which he was, he's nuts.
He's nuts.
He's fun to watch. I'm trying to think who's, oh my God, I totally forgot her name. She just did a special on Netflix. Ali Wong.
Ali Wong, Baby Cobra.
her special was hilarious.
Yeah, her special's so good. So good.
It was so funny.
Have you watched someone that I started comedy with, somebody that I know from New York, Michael Che from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Have you seen his special?
No.
Oh.
Is it so good?
Have you watched it? It is so good. Like, as a comedian, there's an extra element of being entertained because
He's got one of the best Instagram comments. His special
touches on stuff, and it's just, I was so surprised at how well put together it was. Not surprised, because he's such a hard worker, but I laughed out loud.
He's super smart, and he's not the smart where he needs to let you all know how smart he is.
Right now, he's very subtle.
Yeah,
he's so
that's
subtle.
Yeah,
he just, he's got this one line about Hitler that made me laugh out loud. I was like, oh my god, this is so good. It's, you have to watch it.
Yeah,
it's called Michael Che Matters.
I will.
Yeah,
I'll watch
you
got to
check
week.
That one out.
I'll watch it this week while I'm off.
Okay. Yeah. Who else do you like? Anybody from back in the day?
Of course, Sinbad specials were all incredible.
Sinbad! Love Sinbad!
They were so incredible. So his specials were all so good. But I grew up, I loved SNL. I just was this huge SNL nerd.
Yeah.
I think that when I hit my midlife crisis, I'll just start like emailing whoever's the head writer ideas. Like, here's my idea. We should have done this from the beginning.
Come on, guys. Just hear me out.
But if I do it every day, they have to listen, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you just keep pounding it into them.
Like, I have these ideas. No, but just a lot of, like, I grew up watching Wayne's World. And
I loved Wayne's World. We had such good comedy.
We did.
We were lucky.
We did. And when Jim Carrey was in his prime, just the physical comedy that he would do.
Jim Carrey, honestly, like, when I think about comedians who've influenced me the most, he's probably up, like, the top three.
But let me, this just, I was way too young, probably. I was probably 10 or, no, well, 11 or 12. And I had a cassette tape of Eddie Murphy's Raw.
Oh, yeah. I've got that on my iPod.
Yeah. And there was, for some reason, with the, does it have the songs?
Yeah.
Like the songs about putting things in your butt?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I knew every word. Why did I know those words? So.
Is that the song?
It was
the song about putting things in your butt?
Right? But I just would listen to that one. No.
Yeah.
Like, I loved that. I was probably too young. My mom was like, she always let me watch that stuff. So.
My parents are too. My dad, like, I used to watch Richard Pryor when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, Richard Pryor was like edgy for adult at the time. And George Washington. I watched.
George Carlin?
I don't know if you knew, but George Washington did
hilarious.
A great bit on slavery. You gotta hear it. George Carlin. My dog is named after Carlin.
Right.
Bill Hicks is my favorite. Did you ever watch Bill Hicks?
I don't think I've seen some of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Him and Kinnison used to write together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
So that's funny that you grew up and you liked.
I did.
Comedy.
We were always like. I think I bought my mom the Living Color like box set a few years
something. That show.
Or I wanted to or something, but yeah.
You think about all the characters that show made that were iconic.
Yeah. My sister and I still do Vera DeMilo.
Oh my God. With the little fucking pigtails.
My name's Vera.
She took like
with the little.
Yeah. Like the horse pill tranquilizers. Yeah. It was the best.
In the little bikini. Mm-hmm. He was such a fucking ball of fire.
I know.
He really was.
What was the Jamie Foxx character with the?
Did he do, did he do Duke? Come on, Duke. With the stuffed dog. Or was that David Alan Grier?
I think that was David Alan Grier.
Come on,
Jamie
Duke.
Foxx did I keep wanting to say like LaWanda or something.
Oh, he did Shanine. Was it? No, that was Martin. He did.
I can't think of it off the
Shaniqua?
Top of my head.
What was her name?
I know. Somebody Google it.
Do you know?
Jamie Foxx on In Living Color.
She was the girl with the lips.
Yes.
And I always wondered, because Martin did the character on Martin.
If
and
it
I always,
came from that?
Yeah, I wonder, because those two characters really are identical.
Yeah, it was really close.
And there must have been a little bit of heat between the two of them, because if you think about it, even the way they looked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it Shanane? Hey, this is Shanane.
There's so many people who came from that who were just still funny, just naturally, like Tommy Davidson.
Oh, my God.
All the Wayans, obviously.
All the Wayans.
And Homie Don't Play That.
Homie Don't. Oh, my. We smack them. And the drunk, remember the drunk guy with the pickle juice jar? Was that?
Fire Marshal Bill.
Oh, my God. Fire Marshal Bill.
Right? Yeah.
Fire fucking Marshal Bill.
Jim Carrey in his prime to me is
Jack
In Living LaLanne? Color.
Jim, when I think of In Living Color, like Jim Carrey is like the forefront.
Yeah.
Do you remember when he did Jack LaLanne and he came in pulling that RV with a rope in his teeth? He's like, juice for life.
Yeah.
Did you figure out who it is?
Wanda. Yeah.
And he just with the booty?
Mm-hmm.
I always wonder who came first with that.
I don't know. I grew up watching all that. So I appreciate, that's what I appreciate. I don't like sad movies. I don't like listen to sad songs.
No, Amy Winehouse. You don't get some
it's
wine.
It's not my jam. Or like, you know, I don't want to go see Marley and Me where everybody's gonna cry at the end.
Oh,
it's
God,
ridiculous.
That movie was so sad.
I just don't want to watch it.
I know it's gonna happen, and I watch
it. My like, I'm having a crap day. Is I'm just gonna go find something that's funny. And that's just how I've always handled things.
That's interesting because as a comedian. Yeah, whatever. We can answer it. Did somebody call? Let's call him back.
It's Anthony, who you met before.
I think for me, I gravitate towards more sad shit.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wonder if it's because of like how I do it as a living.
I just cry when I see the cover of Hope Floats. Like, I just can't handle it.
Just the cover?
Just can't handle
it. Is that with Sandy Bullock?
My dad's like in the retirement. I can't handle it.
Hope Floats, bitch. No, it don't. It sank. Mm-mm. Hope is sinking in 2016. Mm-mm. So how did you get... What is your position here? Tell people what your position is and where you work.
I am the Northern New York Regional Manager for ACR Health. So I oversee, but I'm in development as well. So
does ACR stand for something?
It used to be AIDS Community Resources. So we started out 33 years ago in Syracuse. We've been here the whole time doing work with HIV and AIDS. So community education, helping those people who were suffering or living with HIV and AIDS, you know, get to their doctors and, you know, educating them on how to live with this and as well as educating the community. So my job itself, my end of things is my job is really like, I need to know what this agency does so I can go sell it. So we can create events, we can do fundraising.
Yeah.
We can do public awareness, public relations, that sort of thing. So I'm sort of that end of it. So, but we have so many amazing people who are just boots on the ground in so many ways.
What's the biggest challenge for you? Do you feel like as far as like what you need to get, how you need to get your job done, what has been the biggest challenge?
We're a very progressive agency. So my biggest challenge, I would say, is getting people who in front of me who want to talk about LGBTQ youth, who want to talk about HIV and AIDS, who want to talk about people using needles in the streets.
It's just getting people to talk about it.
Just getting people to talk about those things. So, you know, there are a million nonprofits and they do really amazing things. And some of them are easier to get people on board with because it just is. So it doesn't mean that either of us are doing different or less or more important work. Ours is just, we've always been sort of envelope pushers.
Yeah. What does that mean? What do you mean by that?
Like, for example, we are working really hard in all 9 counties that we serve with the opiate crisis. Right. So there is a heroin problem in New York State.
Wake the fuck up, people.
Right. It goes right up that 81 corridor. And it just does.
You hear that? Wayne Mahar, what's the weather like right now up the 81 corridor?
Who just retired?
No, Wayne Mahar?
Dave Longley.
Don't you dare. Mahar better not retire without texting me.
So, you know, just saying, hey, people are using and you need to pay attention. And the way we, you know, we're trying to prevent instead of come afterwards and fix. So the way we're going to prevent another outbreak of HIV is giving people clean needles.
HIV doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
The way people don't understand
a public, you know, spread of Hep C is making sure they have clean needles. And then while we do it, we foster a relationship with them. And then we're saying, okay, you know, you've been working with us for a while. Let's take some steps to get you some help. I always say we're not a second chance agency. We're just a continuing chance because no matter how many times you screw up, you can come back to us and we'll say, all right,
what do we need to do now? Yeah. And that's important to people to understand.
You know,
I think
certain rehabs, certain other agencies, certain doctors will say, nope, that's too many times. We don't want anything to do with you. So, you know, and people in the community know that. And so Tyler, who you met earlier, it has saved lives because people have come to our doorstep OD'd and he's injected them with Narcan. And then off they go back on their feet. But, you know, what we're doing is we're saving somebody's kid. We're saving somebody's brother or sister or parent. When we do that, it's not just a throwaway drug user.
Yeah.
It's somebody's somebody.
People are so judgmental about drug use.
Yeah.
And they think when you're on the other side of it, it's so easy to chop it up to just you're lazy or you're not trying hard enough or... why can't you just stop?
Right.
And people don't realize that it's mixed with a lot of different factors that affect it. Like mental illness is a factor that really, I think, is related to it from my own personal experience and having family members and seeing what happens to them and, you know, that sort of path they go down that I think, like, I know because of my perspective, like when you are talking about giving people clean needles, and we were talking about this before, that doesn't sound good to people. No, they're scared of that because they think, why not just stop it all together? But the truth of the matter is you have to put another step in there before you solve that.
Right.
Like you said, you need to build trust. Mm-hmm. You can't just take things away because they're going to find a way to do drugs regardless. So why not make it safer and cleaner?
Yeah, absolutely.
And stop that progression.
Right. I mean, it's like that when we do safe sex lessons, you know, it's naive to think that teenagers, let's say, are not going to have sex.
Or even younger.
Right.
So 13-year-olds are out there.
Is abstinence the best policy for drug use and sex?
Fuck no. Yeah.
You know, of course.
Oh, were you going to say yes? Oh, okay.
Of course. I mean, I'm with you, but, you know. So is it the best policy? Yes. Is it realistic? No.
It's not.
It's not. So what are the tools to help them do it safely? When I taught sex ed for 5 years and
people, you did?
Yeah.
To what ages?
7th grade, so 12.
Oh my, how do you,
and 13, and
how do you even
school.
Like, what do you, I can't even fathom having that conversation with a room full of students.
It's
because you also have to consider
right
the regulations of the school.
Yep. So we did a good job of not, you know, the board gave us permission to come in. The school board would give us permission to come in and do our thing. So I was lucky. But at the same time, like, I did it my way. I did.
What was your way? Like,
I mean, I would teach the curriculum as you're supposed to, but I would try to be funny.
That's smart.
And I would try to, like, I would just come in and I was authoritative at first. Like, listen, I'm going to teach you about this and you're going to listen and you can try to stump me if you want. But here I am. And then after that, I was super relaxed. And I did like anonymous question box. And I would say, if it's in there and it's genuine, I'll answer it.
That's smart.
So you would have the kids who would say something to try to shock you. And you're just like, whatever.
But, yeah.
But at the same time, I would also say, how many of you have talked to this, you know, with your parents about this, middle school age? And, you know, some of the kids would raise their hand. And then I would say, how many of your parents would tell you to Google it? And like, most of the class would raise their hand. And my heart would break because it's, A, you're going to get some stuff you do not want to see.
No.
Like anybody wants to see. But it's just not, it's so uncomfortable to talk about for some people that, you know,
they're not talking is easier.
Yes, that not talking is easier. It's not that it's bad parenting. It's just not effective, and it's not gonna, it's not gonna help your kid be safe. So, but
neither of my parents talked to me about it.
My mom had me very, very young, so she was basically like, I love you, but it'll ruin your life. You know, like sort of that scare tactic, and I adore her for that. But
did Tracy Morgan be like, that's crazy? You know, he hosted scare tactics for a long time. I'm gonna get you pregnant, girl.
Exactly. I'd be like, okay. So, but yeah, so just, I just was open with them. I would say my doors are open after class. If you don't want to ask it in front of the class, put it in the anonymous question box. High school is a little different. They would just ask.
Yeah.
But it was funny to watch kids who thought they knew it all already. And then you just let them say what they needed to say and you'd be like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like I had one girl argue with me that married couples don't have oral sex. I'm like, all right.
What?
Uh-huh.
Married couples don't have oral sex, she said.
She just argued with me about it.
Well, we know what's going on at your house or not going on at your house.
And I'm just like, okay. Yeah.
That sounds like something that her mother taught her.
Yeah. Or just like, I don't know. So
your father's upset because married couples don't have oral sex anymore, hun. I don't know why I made her sound like my mom.
but it was a very cool job. It was very rewarding and
did that
I got
lead
great
you to
questions
this?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. So and I had worked for ACR Health, right? I always say that I tried not to work for ACR, and I say that with love.
Yeah,
I worked for them right out of college. I graduated from Ithaca with a communications degree, and I was
my sister
like,
went there.
Yeah. And I was just like, I need to do something. And then so they were there at the place I was bartending, and for an event, I heard them say, we need a development person. And I was like, here's my resume.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And they took a chance on me and they gave me a job, and it just did nothing but build from there. So they changed me for the better for sure. And then 10 years later, I'm back. It's sort of a different capacity. And I don't, you know, when they knocked on my door, I'm like, of course.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What
so
do
it's
you
a really cool agency
for you. Like, what do you feel is missing, like if you in a perfect scenario for the agency here, what would be implemented
as far as like our agency or
as far as like
the population we work with?
I think let's start like on a local area. Like if you could have anything to help make your job easier or just make it run smoother or get more supplies or anything like in this location here in Syracuse. Right.
I would say, and you can shake Will, my coworker.
Will's over here on the side, yeah, chilling on the sidelines.
Because he does work out of the Syracuse. I mean, I'm here a lot. But I would say more acceptance. More when we do knock on somebody's door, like we were talking earlier, and say we need beds for homeless, gay youth, that they're not like...
Just slamming the door.
Right.
Because they hear these words more acceptance. That they're afraid of.
And then more, you know, just letting... Listening to why these kids need help or listening to why drug users need help or, you know, especially with our LGBTQ programs, the Q Center.
Which we're in right now.
Yeah, we're in
The Q Center.
Yep.
Tell them a little bit about the Q Center.
The Q Center is really cool. So it's really a program. This happens to be a physical building, but it's a program that we have in all of our areas. So it's a place for LGBTQ youth or however they identify can come and be themselves. So if they get to be themselves for 3 hours a week, that might be saving their life because they can't be themselves at home and they can't be themselves at school. But they know if they get to Tuesday at 3 o'clock or whatever, you know, that's the time in Watertown that we have our kids meet. Then they're going to be okay for a few hours.
Yeah, they know they got that to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, just that anxiety and that ability to exhale is life-saving and changing.
And if there's an LGBTQ, that's like getting it all out.
It's a handful.
LGBTQ.
Q youth.
I'm going to try it one more time. If there is a youth
right.
out there listening, what would you say to them?
You can all, I mean, everybody's pretty web savvy. So you can go to our website, which is acrhealth.org. Reach out to your most local schools and guidance counselors, have our information, you know, and we're easy to find. We're here. We're right in Syracuse. So,
and your doors are open.
Yeah. These doors are open and you'll meet with somebody first to say, okay, what's going on so that we can best suit your needs because we have different groups. We really break it down. So we have groups for just trans kids. So just kids who identify as transgender and they're really working through that. But not only are we helping them, we have groups for their parents.
Because we understand that's a huge part of it.
Right. So we understand that that's not easy. And it's not like we're going, you should accept them immediately. Like it's, but it's like, here's how, let me help you work through this.
What do you say to a parent that says, this is just a phase?
I would say you need to listen to your kid. You need to listen to your kid. I mean, and at the end of the day, who's going to like do this, you know, go through all that hardship as a choice?
Yeah.
Like this sounds like fun.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, shaving your side, the side of your head.
No, that's a
phase. That's so frustrating.
Shaving your hair, coloring your hair, getting a piercing. That's a phase.
Yeah.
You know, or getting a stupid tattoo that we all did when we were 18. That's a phase.
Yeah.
But if a kid is, by the time your kid gets aware enough and the guts enough to say to you, I'm gay or I'm trans or I'm this. Then it's not a phase. It's been brewing for a long time.
Yeah. And you know, just as much as kids sort of understand what they're good at and what they want to do, mm-hmm. they understand essentially who they are as people.
Yeah. So, and you know, we have a tendency to ignore those signs and those things and just be like, oh, they'll be fine. Or they're a tomboy or.
Or parents are just afraid. I'm sure a lot of parents are just scared because imagine having a kid. No, there's not a class to teach you how to be a parent. And then if you have this adversity mm-hmm. thrown into your life, there's nothing to teach you how to handle it and how to properly, you know, welcome your child and to make them feel safe and not afraid to be who they are.
Right.
Because I'm sure the parent is just like, did I do something wrong? I'm mm-hmm. sure it's a question a lot of parents ask themselves. Because they think it's something they did.
Right, exactly.
They don't realize that it's nature, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's nature.
Yep, it is.
I have this argument with people all the fucking time about this whole nature versus nurture thing when it comes to, you know, homosexuality and all sorts of, you know, the whole spectrum of that. It's... You see it in nature, and why do we, I have a big problem with people who are judgmental, especially towards children.
Right. So when they walk through our doors, they don't get that.
Yeah.
That washes away for a few hours or a couple times a week or until they get to that whole, it gets better place.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
It's like you guys are the glue in that transitional time for them.
Hopefully. I mean, hopefully. I know that, you know, I've had kids in my office, you know, working through things, or I've been able to direct them in the right way. And you're just like, yeah, that was the right thing to do for that kid. Like, you just know that they need a break.
What are the biggest things that you need? Like if you had to name three companies.
So product, you mean?
Yeah.
Besides,
yeah, like what cash? Cash, first of all. And if yeah. people want to donate, where can they donate?
ACRhealth.org. We have a donate button.
Okay.
Right on our website.
And what are all those proceeds like if people are donating?
Those proceeds go, you know, mainly to our unfunded programs, like
which the Q center is hugely.
We don't have like our syringe exchange. We have a state contract for that. Doesn't mean you can't be passionate about that and donate and say, "I'd really love to help this program," because we'll put it toward that.
Yeah.
But Q, our LGBTQ groups and programs are unfunded. So
that's just that blows my mind.
Yeah, it's almost all fundraised dollars.
And
so.
Can we talk about the New York City situation?
Yeah.
So how much funding do they have for their?
New York City has specific foundation money. So, you know, the big foundations that people will money to or whatever. And
right.
then they allocate different places. Do you remember the number?
175 million.
Yeah, 175 million.
I remembered
million.
It. Because it set a fire.
I didn't want to get it wrong. $175 million that goes just to the five boroughs for LGBTQ programs.
And there's been attempts to.
And it's supposed to be New York State foundations, but they go to New York City and, you know, that's sort of the way you're from upstate New York. You get how New York City.
New York is a separate thing.
It is. It's a totally
it's
separate.
Sacred.
Thing. Yeah.
You're in fucking New York.
Yeah.
You don't got pizza where you're from. We got pizza here on the island.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that mentality. And I get that there's a population difference, a huge population difference. But I don't. There's a huge discrepancy.
There's also resources for those kids on every corner.
Yeah.
So, not saying they shouldn't get it.
No, but New York is, the essence of New York is that the individuality aspect is promoted.
Right.
And it's encouraged. And being an individual is a part of the New York City heartbeat.
Right.
I lived there for 10 years.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and there was no, if you were judgmental towards somebody, somebody else in the street would say some shit to you.
Right. No. And definitely, you know, and so of the rest of New York State, so upstate New York or whatever you want to call it, not just the county above
New York
City.
State B.
But New York State, exactly. Yeah, B.
We're closer to B. the Capitol, you cunts. You can't say that, but I can.
Yeah. No. So, I mean, I could. But, you know.
Go ahead. No.
So we get 1% of that.
That's wild.
For the entire state.
For the entire state.
All of upstate New York gets 1%.
Oh, man.
So, you know.
So you guys personally don't get that.
No, we don't know. And we've created an event that they call, or that we call Upstate Meets Downstate, where we go and we have a party in New York City. We ask somebody to donate some space. We have a party, invite foundation members in so we can say, here's what you're not giving money to. Please, let's do this. So
you have to go into New York City, spend money to make money,
right?
Essentially. And that's a lot of work.
Absolutely.
And you have to go out there to be like, hey, we're the little guys over here.
Right.
We also have those people over here.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and we have a lot of them. I mean, we had like 150 kids come to Pride Prom in Syracuse.
You did?
Yeah.
What did you guys do for Pride Prom?
What was the theme here?
I want to go to Pride Prom.
Please come
when
to Pride
When is
Prom.
It?
It'll be like in June.
Oh my God, I want to go so bad. There's a baby in here.
And in Watertown, we had 50 plus kids at Pride Prom.
So and what do you do? Like, do you do like music?
They danced and they killed it.
That's awesome.
They came dressed however they want.
That's so great.
We got a DJ who was very affirming.
Yeah.
We let the DJ judge, and we didn't have like king or queen. We just had prom court.
Queen.
Yeah. We just had court, like prom.
Yeah.
You won prom, basically.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And they loved it. And we had kids we've never seen before show up at Pride Prom.
That's amazing.
And their parents at the door saying, please take my $20.
That's so amazing.
You know, because we had to rent out space and stuff. But yeah, so, and I don't know the numbers for Utica. I apologize if any of our Utica staff hear
and
this.
And where's the Syracuse Pride Prom? Where do they have that? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I know they've done stuff here right in the Q Center. But we usually try to get them out. Like in Watertown, we had it at Maggie's Bar and Grill. So it was like the third floor of a bar. And I was like the disciplinarian. I'm like, if any of you kids go down to that bar,
I'm watching you.
Yeah. So, yes.
That's amazing.
So cool. Yeah.
So
cool.
Businesses, your dream businesses.
Oh,
or products.
Products. So
can people donate products?
They can, absolutely.
They can drop stuff off.
It's the end of Christmas season. So we just finished.
627 West Genesee Street
right,
in Syracuse, New York.
Yep.
Right next to the Enterprise Car Rental.
Yep.
I pulled in there on accident.
We have no parking, so it's fine. So we just finished Holiday Angels. So because we have a whole nother part of our agency that I haven't said anything about, which is support services. So those are our clients. So those are the people we have living with HIV and AIDS. Those are the people that we service that have two or more chronic illnesses or a mental illness. So we help them get to their doctors. May we give them care plans to say, you need to really adhere to this if you want to be a healthy person. So it's really about getting them off of certain things and like onto a healthier path. So our Holiday Angel program is where people adopt those clients. So, and their lists are always heartbreaking because they need socks and they need underwear and they need sheets.
So is it like
pots and pans?
Someone can be the angel for that individual.
Yeah. So you could adopt a family or just one
person.
Oh,
that's really nice.
Yeah. You know, and the kids usually ask for toys because we let them fill out a questionnaire. And it's all anonymous. So if say you adopted a family, you'd get a number, client number 1234.
Yeah.
And you'd get to do whatever you want for them from their list and we'd give them their presents.
That's such a good idea.
Just really stuff that you would never think twice about going to Target and buying.
Yeah.
You know, underwear, clothes.
Because you're not considering because you can get it. You don't even consider about those things.
And if you think about most people living with chronic illness, mental illness, and HIV and AIDS also live under the poverty level. So, and that
That's
we can
so
even
sad.
Take that a step further to the kids, the LGBTQ kids. Tyler, again, who you met, works with our homeless youth. Homeless youth. And probably because they're gay. That's what made them
That's
homeless.
So sad.
Not because they ran away. Not because, you know. It's
just
because
of who they are.
Out. Yeah, they're kicked out of their house or somebody found out they were, you know, wearing girls' clothes in private.
And does Tyler go out in the community and physically find them?
We have really good relationships with other agencies, so a lot of times they'll call us and say we have a kid who needs a bed or Tyler will go do outreach and we'll figure out where they are and where they need to go and get them some help.
Yeah. That's heartbreaking, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. But we have a lot of awesome success stories too. So, you know, it feels kind of good to be a part of that. And
you guys, I like that everyone's like, you guys are so vivacious here. Like it feels, because I've been to health centers before and youth centers where it feels sort of like gray.
Right.
But we're in this room, there's all these colors and like it feels good.
I know, you missed the desk. You probably walked right by it with all the, he called them dicksicles. So the con.
Nice! That's my favorite type of icicle.
So, you know, just rubber penises attached to his cubicle.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Especially, you know, when you're working with kids, they need to not be in that gray area because they're in that all the time.
No, and it's just, it's not fair. Like that's, as a child, that's the most important formative time of your life. And you deserve freedoms and you deserve just basic rights.
Right, right.
So what products and companies can we put on the line?
So products and companies. So I'm
knocking on all the damn doors.
There you go. So anybody that can do bedding. Our beds. We need those for our homeless youth. Any personal care items or we have drives for those. So you'd be surprised if somebody who doesn't have good or any shampoo or, so personal care items are always great. But then we have things like this. So computers and things like that so that these kids can come after school and get homework done or do research on places or stuff like that. So, but that personal sort of that intimate stuff is what we hand out the most. So, you know, like I said, bedding, personal care items, clothes for youth, clothes for our clients.
So basically like stuff you need just to like...
Food. We'd really try to hook them up with anything that we can. And it's not just like, here's a bunch of free stuff. It's like, we've seen the hardships they've gone through and we've seen how hard they're having to work to just stay afloat and survive.
Yeah.
So just that extra leg up.
Yeah. And just for them to not have to struggle with basic everyday stuff.
I know. I mean, you take for granted that you can run to Target and get new underwear if you need new underwear.
I mean, I run out of butt wipes and I'm like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
Butt wipes are amazing.
Yeah. Butt wipes
have literally saved my
day.
Changed my life. I feel like I can feel my butt go.
Yeah.
Just like so fresh.
Ready to go.
So we're going to have to go after some people. I'm going to go after some people on my
That'd
own.
Be awesome.
And I'm going to try and get, I'm literally going to call Raymore and Flanagan.
Say, listen.
I am. I'm going to let them know. I put them on blast in my podcast.
We need some beds for these kids.
We need some beds for kids so they can sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can you say no to that?
Right.
And like, I get that businesses are businesses, but charity has such a larger ripple. You know, you sell a bed, you're always going to sell a bed. But if you donate one, the effect that's going to have is so much stronger than just selling one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can do both.
Right.
So if you guys are out there and listening, you can donate. Tell them again where they can donate.
ACRhealth.org.
And we're at 627 West Genesee Street.
Right.
And if you are a youth that needs some help, guidance, clean syringe.
Right.
This is the place to come to.
Yeah.
This is your haven.
Help you with that. And again, like I said, there's all different kinds of agencies doing different things. And I understand that the stuff that we do isn't always, it's more progressive and it's a little different as far as we're pushing the envelope. It's stuff that people don't always like to talk about. They don't like to talk about their kid who's using heroin. They don't like to, but let's talk about it.
But the problem, Let me tell you why you need to get them some help.
Right, yes. Exactly. Let me tell you why you really need to get them some clean needles. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
So when you don't talk about it, the problem doesn't go away. It gets worse and it festers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm really proud of how not only do we help, you know, LGBTQ youth in certain ways, but we're also like, hey man, we have group three parents.
That is so vital.
Yeah.
That is so vital.
Get your parents in here.
If you're a parent out there and you are listening, this is connecting with you, you didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
But doing nothing is doing something wrong.
Right.
And you just get up off your ass.
We're non-judgment. Like, we're going to fly.
You've heard it all.
Yeah. We're going to
fly. You've heard and seen it all. I'm sure.
I taught sex ed. I have heard it all. Yeah. Little boys do not know what to do with their equipment.
Grown men don't.
Exactly.
Grown men don't.
So, you know, it's a cool place to work. We have a ton of, we always, you know, what's your elevator speech, you know, how to sell somebody in 30 seconds. Like, it's just impossible because we have so much that we're doing.
Yeah.
But there's almost always something that somebody identifies with our agency, whether it's a gay kid, somebody who's using drugs, somebody with a mental illness. Yeah.
Somebody who's all three.
Exactly. Which is probably more, you know, the case. So there's always a direction we can point you in and say, here's how you can help if this is what you're looking for.
Is there anything you want to say before you and I hang up this phone and go play with the Dixicles?
I'm just so excited that you're here. This is such a
nerd moment.
A nerd
moment. Nerd alert.
Super.
That's
super.
Awesome though.
I don't know. Like I'm so excited you're here. I hope to be able to do more things. I know you're here. I know it's family time.
We're going to do something together. We're going to figure out some sort of charity to put together. Maybe like 6 months in the future so we can really absolutely. Hound.
We'd love to be on your radar and just be your, when I go home, this is who I want to help.
Oh, you are. Like, this is it. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm in it to win it with you guys.
People are like, how do you know her? I'm like, I'm kind of a stalker.
We're like best friends.
Also that, I brought like interlocking necklaces. You don't have to wear it, but I'll give you the other half.
As long as it's two Dixicles that lock into one.
Sure. I'm sure I can find it on Etsy. There's gotta be. There's a name for that. We can talk about that off the air.
That's amazing.
That there's a name for stuff.
Is there?
Yeah.
What is it?
Docking.
Oh, shit. Hey, guys. This has been the Sharp Tongue Podcast. Tell everybody who you are.
My name is Carrie McAvoy. I work for ACR Health.
And so you better excited. Check it out and donate, you fuckers. Bye.
Bye.